Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, in our gospel lesson, Jesus displays for us how he deals with, on the one hand, the impenitent, and on the other hand, the penitent. So we're going to see Jesus dealing with both the impenitent and the penitent. It says that there was a certain lawyer who stood up and tempted him, saying, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, you have to notice that this was a lawyer among the group of those who were the stern opponents of Jesus. Secondarily, you have to notice that it says that he asked the question not in sincerity of heart, but in order to tempt Jesus or to put him on trial, to test Jesus, to see if he could catch him saying something wrong. All right? So what we are dealing with here is an impenitent person. And the question is not a bad question. All right? What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now notice the word do. All right? At the end of our Old Testament reading this morning, he that doeth them shall live in them. The law promises life, but it promises life on condition of obedience. St. James tells us in his epistle, he that would keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all. One sin makes you a sinner. All right? Because there's nothing that you can do to undo that sin. It clings to you. All right? You can't do a bunch of good works to cancel out the sin that you committed. That's not the way it works. The law says, do this and thou shalt live. So this man, who is a legalist and who believes the law, he asks the question, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus turns the question around on him. And he says, what is written in the law? How readest thou? In other words, what do you think? What does the law teach? And the man recites the two great commandments. Now, you know from your catechetical instruction, which is fresh in all your minds, all right? You know that love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength is a summary of the first three commandments. And love your neighbor as yourself is a summary of commandments 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. All right? So, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself is a summary of what is taught in the Ten Commandments. So, in other words, the man answers and he says, the law teaches that if I want everlasting life, I must keep the commandments. Now, watch what Jesus does. He says, you have answered right. This do, notice the word do again, this do and thou shalt live. Now, certain inexperienced Christians will read this and will say, wait a minute. Aren't we saved by grace? Didn't we just sing that hymn, "By Grace I'm Saved, Grace Free and Boundless"? Here's Jesus telling somebody that when they said that they're saved by obeying the commandments, he says, you're right. This do and you will live. What's going on here? What's going on is that Jesus is preaching the law to an impenitent person. He's preaching to a person who imagines that they comply with the law. And he's saying, oh, okay, you're right. Now do it and you will live. Jesus is intensifying the law for this guy. This do and you shall live, with a capital D-O. This do and you shall live. This, it may not strike the average modern reader, but it hit this guy right between the eyes. How do we know that? Because in the next verse, verse 29, it says, he, wanting to justify himself, said unto Jesus, who is my neighbor? So he knows that he has not kept the commandments. And so one of the ways that people fiddle around with God's commandment in order to make it look like they are complying is by lowering the standard. Make the commandment easy to obey, and then you look great. All right? So he says, who is my neighbor? Because if my neighbor, if I can limit that word to include only people I'm fond of, well, then there's no sweat. I have complied, right? I have complied because I'm good to people who are good to me, right? And so nobody has a hard time loving their neighbor when their neighbors love them, right? So this is one of the tricks that people who believe in works righteousness pull. They pull the wool over their own eyes and they pull the wool over other people's eyes. They think that if they make the commandments easy to fulfill, then they can comply with the commandments. This is Pharisaic religion. Make everything a matter of external conformity, and then it looks like you're doing a great job. But that's not what the law is really all about. So he says, who is my neighbor? And then Jesus tells this parable to him, in which Jesus amplifies the message of the law tenfold. All right? To this man, the Good Samaritan is L, period, A, period, W, period, exclamation point. A certain man goes down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Thieves attack him. He's left half dead after being robbed. And along comes a priest, and the priest sees him, walks around him, and keeps going. Then along comes a Levite, and the Levite, he comes and he takes a close look at the guy, and then he also goes on his way. So the two religious professionals are not neighborly in the least to this man. They've got religious duties to take care of. They can't be getting involved with this guy. And besides that, he's probably unclean, right? So along comes a Samaritan. And you could picture this lawyer, when he hears the word Samaritan, wrinkle up his nose and go, what? A Samaritan? And then when Jesus tells him that it's the Samaritan that sees him, has compassion on him, tends to his wounds, puts him on his own animal, brings him to an inn, and pays for his upkeep. And you can just see this grimace on the face of the lawyer who is going, my goodness, what an unpleasant story to have a Samaritan bum be the good guy in the story. And then Jesus asks the lawyer the question, all right now, which one of these three was neighbor to him that fell among the thieves? Jesus waits for him to answer. This guy does not want to answer the question, right, because he has to grudgingly admit that it's the Samaritan. He can't even bring himself to say the word Samaritan. He just spits out, he that had mercy on him. You know, he will not say the Samaritan was the neighbor. He won't say that, but he said, he that had mercy on him. All right. Now the law is working full time on this guy. Right? If Jesus had preached the gospel to this man, the man would have yawned in his face, because he saw himself as a righteous person who was already saved by his works. The gospel is boring to such people. All right? It is only the sinner who is contrite when they hear the law and they know they haven't kept it and they are penitent. These are people, when you teach the gospel to them, they delight in it because it's good news. It's good news that a sinner like me is saved by grace alone. So Jesus tells him, go and do thou likewise. And off he goes to deal with his life as an impenitent works righteousness advocate. Now we forget about him. How does Jesus deal with penitent people? All right. All of this takes place in the hearing of the disciples. Our gospel lesson begins by Jesus turning privately to his disciples. There's a whole group of people around, and he says to his disciples, blessed are the eyes that see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. All right? Jesus is saying to them, you guys are blessed by God supremely. Why? Because you are seeing and hearing. You are watching unfold right before your very eyes the holy promises of God given to the saints of the Old Testament, and many Old Testament believers waited for the fulfillment of these promises, and they died without seeing the fulfillment. But you guys are blessed in that you are seeing the whole shebang play out for your sakes right before your very eyes. And to us, these disciples who saw and heard by the inspiration of the Spirit, they were commanded to write down the words of the New Testament so that we, although we don't literally, physically see and hear, we nevertheless receive the Holy Ghost testimony of the apostles, and we also are supremely blessed, not because we have been given a program of self-improvement, but because Jesus has done everything for our redemption. Think about his active and passive obedience. We read this commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And unless we are self-deluded hypocrites, we know that we have failed, that we have sinned, and that if we were to just be judged on judgment day based on these two commandments, we would most certainly be cast into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. But Jesus, the Savior of the world, in fulfillment of the promises of the Old Testament, he obeyed God's law completely, not for himself, but for our sakes. And then he gave his life as a ransom and a payment for our many sins. This is Jesus' active and passive obedience. He obeyed the law on our behalf and was totally righteous in his obedience. And he paid the full price for our redemption with his suffering, his crucifixion, his death and burial, and his resurrection from the dead on the third day. And so Jesus is the source of our salvation, because everyone who believes in him receives the credit from God of Christ's obedience and his payment for your sins. All right, that is redemption. That Jesus' obedience is credited to you, and Jesus' payment for your sins is credited to you. And now, when God looks upon you, he does not see your many sins and your deserving. He sees the righteousness of Christ and the blood of Christ, which pays fully for all sin, and he looks upon you as a holy saint of God. That is what justification is all about. And now, we who have this message that we are blessed in Christ, we are blessed to see the fulfillment of all the Old Testament promises. We are blessed to receive this reckoning of righteousness, this imputation of Christ's saving grace to us. We have this all not by any works which we have done, but purely by grace through faith. Now, when we hear the words of the parable of the Good Samaritan, we know that the man who fell among thieves is us. We're the ones who have been beaten and left half dead by our sins and by the law which condemns us of our sins. And the priest and the Levite represent the religion of works righteousness. How often haven't we tried to earn God's favor by doing things and by making endeavors and then getting frustrated because it doesn't seem to help? So there we are. We are the ones who are laying there beaten, robbed, and left half dead. And the law and the religion of works has utterly failed us. But along comes a Samaritan, a hated, despised, rejected Samaritan. By the way, the Pharisees often called Jesus a Samaritan, right? That was their one of their nasty little names, calling him a Samaritan. Along comes this hated, despised Samaritan. And this Samaritan, who is Jesus, does everything that is necessary for this man's restoration. All right? And so we see in this that we were the poor guy left half dead by the roadside, and that Jesus is the Good Samaritan, and that therefore we rejoice as we watch Jesus do all things necessary for our redemption. And then at the end, when he says, "Go and do thou likewise," we realize that all of our good works are not done in order to win favor or earn merit, but that all of our good works are done because we have already been saved and because we are thankful to the Lord for our redemption. And so today we see Jesus dealing with a hard-hearted, impenitent person. And what does he do? He preaches the law intensely to that person in the hopes that that man will finally snap out of his spiritual coma and see that the law is not the way of salvation. But when he deals with the penitent, when he deals with those who believe in him, he gives gracious promises and allows us to see his great saving work that fully and completely accomplishes our salvation. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.